close to these Rogation days, and that's why we're reading and singing to ourselves all things bright and beautiful. All right. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all the nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 66, verses 7 through 18. Let us read together. Bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who holds our souls in life, and will not allow our feet to slip. For you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us just as silver is tried. You brought us into the snare. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs. You let enemies ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment. I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows, which I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will offer you sacrifices of fat beasts with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. I called out to him with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue. If I had found evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld his love from me. A reading from the first letter of Peter. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Saint John. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandment, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandment and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. love that hymn. And I put a little test in the bulletin today to see if you could tell that those are not the words to this hymn. You may have noticed that. So I'll read them to you. This is hymn 488, Slain. I must have left the lyrics in from last week or something. Be thou my vision, Lord, of my heart. All else be naught to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, thine own may I be. Thou in my dwelling, and I one with thee. High King of heaven, when victory is won, may I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. That's what you were singing to yourselves, I'm sure, as Otis is playing. And now beginning the error-free portion of our liturgy today. The Book of Common Prayer is filled with beautiful prayers. And sometimes, stay with me here, sometimes I at least need to take care not to be mesmerized by the very beauty of the language. I need to pause and look beyond phrases that trip easily off the tongue to listen for the meaning behind them. Phrases such as, such good things as surpass our understanding. Honestly, when I've paid particular attention at times, I've taken a really childish view. I mean, unconsciously, I catch myself doing this. Something along the lines of, well, whatever I want or need, God is eventually going to give me even more of that. That stuff, or feeling, or acceptance, or love. It's like a kid getting two stockings crammed with candies and goodies at Christmas instead of one. Surpassing our understanding must mean more than just more. It must mean something along the lines of God's preparing for us something we can't imagine. And I can't describe it for you or for me because I can't imagine. We humans create stories like the Garden of Eden to try to describe the indescribable. So we get a mental picture of these two people, beautiful people, we're sure, strolling around in this perfect place, this paradise with trees and streams and woodland creatures like those in Disney's version of Snow White. It's what we know, or what we can imagine. Really, really happy people, right? It's just more of that same imaginable stuff. Kind of like a cleaned up version of the Big Rock Candy Mountains, where there are crystal fountains, handouts on bushes, cigarette trees, and lemonade springs. Cops have wooden legs, bulldogs have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. There's more, of course, more of the same. This is what happens when this old preacher can't get past the first line of the first prayer, the collect of the day. And this is the point at which I think, come on, you don't even remember what the readings are about, do you? Don't you think you'd better look at them too? So I start reading through them again as they're formatted in our bulletin. And there's Paul talking to the Athenians about their take on the good things that surpass their understanding, expressed in an altar to an unknown God. For them, It's like all the gods they already worship, but more. One more. Their understanding and imagination are limited just like ours. Why not at least an altar to the unknown gods, plural? They weren't hampered by monotheism, so why not an altar to all the unknown gods? Maybe they thought they could get by with one more without angering the gods they already knew or invoking their jealousy. Because there are a lot of stories about that among the Roman gods. Who knows? In any case, we see their limited way of thinking. Paul explains to them, you know that unknown thing, that elusive God who can't be named? That's our God. And that's what I'm here to tell you about. There is one God with all power. Now, right there, the Greeks are probably thinking, that's crazy talk. How can one God take care of all the things that need divine attention in the world, in our lives? Impossible. Paul alludes briefly to our story of creation, saying that this one God created everything that is, including a single ancestor of all of us. I have to admit, at this point, I thought to myself, there's that Garden of Eden thing. Maybe I remembered having read it in this passage at the beginning of the week, but I don't think so. It made me happy. Paul goes on to say, or imply, that as a result of this creation, this single ancestor, A, we're all related, all brothers and sisters, and B, we're all children of God. Well, the Athenians probably broke into a cold sweat at this point. Oh no, they were thinking, only Caesar has the divine presence in him. He is a god, and he's the only human who is. We have gods of water and earth and, well, you name it. Everybody knows these basic facts. Paul patiently continues. This one God came into the world as one of his own creatures, as one of his own children, someone just like the rest of us common folk, not even an emperor. And he died just like one of us. And then he rose from the dead. Nuh-uh, they thought. Now you're talking less, not more. One God, while we have too many to count, and being weak like that, becoming a mere mortal, dying, we think not. Although that resurrection thing is interesting. But no, there's too little in this story. We're looking for more gods. Gods that whoop it up in grand style, even more than we do. One God, dying, no. Some of them did pay attention, though. Some listened to Paul's talk of repentance and forgiveness. And it appealed to them on the basis of their day-to-day lives. Some of them listened. Or we wouldn't be sitting here today together in this amazing, if sometimes flawed, virtual gathering. Some of the Greeks were early believers and became fathers and mothers and saints of our faith. Some of them knew that good things were being prepared for them that surpassed their understanding. A kind of side note here, Jesus once responded to a complicated question by one of his critics by saying that it was about a woman being married to 7 brothers. It's complicated. But he responded to the question by saying that in the kingdom of God, we're not given in or taken in marriage. It's a hard saying for us, as many of us envision a reunion, a recreation of what we already know with those we love in the idyllic afterlife we imagine at the limit of our imagination. It's merely one more indicator by Jesus, a pointing beyond our limited understanding of God holding out for us such good things as surpass our understanding. How could something be better than that? We don't understand because it surpasses our understanding. Back to today's readings. Peter writes about the hope that is in us. It's that phrase in today's passage from his letter that most stands out to me, the hope that is in us. Hope, like faith, is something that lives outside, beyond our logical, reasonable understanding. We hope and we pray for a way through this pandemic. But few of us have any real understanding of how that might be accomplished. In the beginning of all this, or before this outbreak, how to affect a way through it was beyond anyone's understanding. Yes, scientists have been working on coronaviruses for years and years, and evidently their efforts are bearing fruit. There will be, my limited understanding won't allow me to fill in the blank, but at present, it seems that a vaccine will be the answer. But hope precedes and exceeds all of that essential technical knowledge. Hope is the precursor to any attempt at a solution. Hope is what allows us, enables us to participate in taking the necessary steps, as we are doing, to buy time for scientists and researchers to develop a vaccine without being overwhelmed by even more deaths and fallout than the massive number we've already seen. Today's gospel begins with Jesus saying, "If you love me," and there it is, that good thing that bears everything surpassing our understanding, love. And it's not just more of the kinds of love we already know. He tells the crowd, and you and I are in that crowd, that a force is coming to be with us forever, an advocate. One who advocates for us, a spirit, the spirit of truth. Because he lives, Jesus tells us, we will live. Those who love God, he says, are loved by God. There's the shape, the holder of the good things which surpass our understanding, God's love. So maybe we should let up every once in a while on trying to understand it all. We have God's Holy Spirit within us, among us, just not showing up on the screen as another participant, but right here in the middle of all of us, to teach us how to love each other in a way that surpasses our understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can read along with me, even as your microphones are muted. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophet. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayer of the People, Form 2. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our presiding Bishop Michael, for our bishops Andy, Jeff, Kay, and Hector, for our priest Michael, for our missionary Jeannie, and for this gathering and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, and especially for Judy Cervantes Aviles, for Melinda Neighbor, for Jeanette Moore, for Elizabeth Nichols, Russ Archibald, and John Myers, and for all who have died from the COVID-19. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for John, Barry, Morgan, Victoria, Kay, Bob, Richard, Shelley, Allison, Melissa, Sarah, Jackie, Jaden, James, Jenny, Dee, Miranda, Jackie, Dale, Leslie, Linda, Deepa, Mihai, the Degatere family, Ann, Nathan, Christy, Lynn, Ellie, Paul, Merle, June, Caitlin, Susan, Luciana, Alan, Marcel, Matt, Ashley, Patty, Mark, Lottie, Scott, Viral, Calvin, Mark, the women in the huddle facility, Kenyon, Sarah, Ann, Clay, Janice, Tyler, Karen, Cheryl, Lee, Petra, Anna, Rick, Curtis, Teresa, Martha and Larry, Barbara, the Bailey family, Sharon, Swan and the White family, Charisse, Bonnie and Ed, Carl and Favon. I ask your prayers for all who serve in the military, especially Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. I ask your prayers for all who are traveling this week that they may have safe passage. I ask your prayers for all who mourn, especially the families of Judy Cervantes Aviles, Josh Almendares, Elizabeth Nichols, Russ Archibald, John Myers, the father of Lee and Linda, Jane and the family of Jeanette and David Neighbor. I ask your thanksgivings for the birthdays of Elizabeth Drake, John Mather, Jeanette Dorman, and for the anniversary of Emily and Carsey Clinton. I invite your prayers or thanksgivings at this time.
As I ask your prayers for Kathy.
Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. O God, we ask your strength that we might dedicate ourselves to perfecting your kingdom of peace and justice among nations. Let us give thanks for the many blessings of freedom which we possess, purchased at the cost of many lives and sacrifices on this Memorial Day. Fill us with courage to fulfill our tasks and in no way break faith with the fallen. We commend these fallen to your mercy and ask that you give them an eternal rest. This we ask and pray in your name. Amen. O God, whose days are without end and whose mercies cannot be numbered, draw near to all who mourn the loss of those near and dear to them. In the midst of their deep sorrow, grant them the comfort of your presence. Give them faith to feel the calm assurance of your mercy and to know the blessing of your peace that passes all understanding. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Now I invite you to pray along with me, even though we won't hear each other's voices. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now I invite you to unmute yourselves, all of you. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And also with you.
That was great. That short, it works. If you start talking much more than that, all of us together, and it goes really screwy. May Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin, into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
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 Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.